This is Hearts of Oak podcast. Free speech, religious disagreement, children's rights, and open and free discussion on any topic are bedrock to a democratic free society, and we seek to promote and champion these basic rights. Join us. Let's keep the conversation going.
And tonight it's wonderful to have Neil back, Dr. Neil McRae. Thank you, Neil, for your time once again.
Thank you. I'm looking forward to another hour of stimulating conversation, Peter.
Always. If you like the videos, my connection dropped. I wonder why. If you like the videos, then please do like, do share, do subscribe, pass it on, and let others enjoy it. But the first one, let's just bring up a one that you can smile at, because there may be lots that you don't smile at. There you go. Kyle Rittenhouse with the Donald himself. And there isn't, I think that's probably the biggest picture of the week that will piss off any snowflakes. So yes, there is a beautiful picture, and it's a picture that really we need to share. That was from Jack Posobiec's Telegram. So if you don't follow Jack on Telegram, Jack Posobiec, if you don't follow Jack, do follow him on Telegram. He is US, but he does a lot of UK stuff as well. So it's a great mix. So do share that. And if you want to find it, I'm telling you, go to Jack's Telegram. I'll make you work. I think actually the link is in the description, but do go over and follow that. Telegram is a fantastic source of news. So let's jump into our first story, and I think we'll start on a little bit of a left field one, two on this issue, which is on the transgender madness that we're facing. This one is fine. The second one will not be for any kids. So if they're in, we'll give you an 18 rating just before we play it or show it. This is from the Mail, and the headline is "Medics who tell children to take time before changing their gender risk being criminalized as experts fear unintended consequences arising from ban on gay conversion therapy. MPs and peers fear conversion therapy is being rushed through. Government is allowing 6 weeks consultation period, half of the usual 12 weeks. And Dr. David Bell says motivation of bill is to interfere with neutrality of clinicians. Neil, this is a huge subject, but this is an interesting bill the government are pushing through, and I think it could have unintended consequences, as always happens on bills.
Well, for many years, we were under the impression that all this transgenderism and the other extremes of identity politics were being criticized and even ridiculed by the likes of the Daily Mail. But now, since COVID, I'm beginning to see things differently. I'm beginning to see that the Daily Mail, despite what appears there to be a anti kind of message about what this transgenderism kind of project, actually the Daily Mail is performing it's playing a part in the normalization of transgenderism. And anyone that was in any doubt about the Daily Mail could see that with COVID, it is just pushing the establishment's agenda. So what I think that we've been fooled by, or at least many of us, including myself, is that the likes of the Daily Mail have been sort of a bulwark against this kind of nonsense, but in fact they have been playing a role in making this firstly known to the wider public, and secondly getting people to react to what's going on, because by getting people to react, this is a sort of process of getting people to acclimatize to this new reality. And so really, I would say that the Daily Mail, rather than being the sort of right-wing rag as it's portrayed by, you know, the BBC and the Guardian and privileged middle class, really the Daily Mail is part of the propaganda. Really, the Daily Mail is as cultural Marxist as the BBC and the Guardian.
Yep, I'd agree. And it's been sad to see that, but I've come to exactly the same conclusion, Neil. Crypto Chris says the consequences might be intended. That is an interesting thought, Chris. They may not be unintended, but actually intentional. So that is an interesting line on it. Let's move to another one on the same angle. Let me bring it up. This isn't 18 because this is a weird headline and it shows you how weird our society have become. So any children, kick them out of the room for the next 3 minutes. You may have kids watching because they need to be educated as well. So normally I say, great, have them on. But this one, headline is Teesside woman accused of exposing penis. Now, I'll not even go further in, but this is Chloe Thompson is the individual, the female, 41, from Middlesbrough, has pleaded not guilty to these charges. Neil, I guess this just shows the screwed up situation we are in society. And again, this is normalizing a issue which actually should be utter nonsense. And yet this headline makes it, oh yeah, quite normal for a woman to be exposing her penis.
Yes, and with any sort of social or cultural story, there's always two aspects to it. One is the details of what's actually happened. You know, this I presumably is a real person, a real story, something that really has happened. But secondly is how the media get the message across. So the ordinary person won't know anything about this Teesside woman with the penis unless the media decide to get that message out. So what is the incentives of the media here? And I believe, and I think that the COVID regime clearly shows this, is that the media are performing a role. They're performing a role for the establishment. They're, you know, I think one of the easiest ways to understand the agenda of the media is to see it as the three C's, COVID, climate change, and cultural Marxism. Yeah. And the latter two have been going on for many years. COVID is more recent. But they're all about destroying traditional society. And, you know, I believe that likes of the Daily Express and the Daily Mail in the past really were bastions of traditional society. But for many years, they haven't been. And another problem is with the regional media. Now, you see this website that you're using here, Peter. It's called Teesside Live. And what you'll find is that wherever you go in the country, there's always a something live, Derby Live, Bristol Live, Cumbria Live, you know. And basically these websites have taken over from what the remnants of the local and regional press, and they are entirely in favor, supporters, champions of those three C's.
Yeah. Not completely, and often it'll be, I think the Guardian also has quite a big reach through some of those local publications. Yeah. Couldn't survive by themselves and have often been bought up by larger organizations. So yeah, completely. Neil, before we go on, can I just bring up Workers of England Union. You obviously are involved in them. Do you want to just again just touch on that just 30-40 seconds before we move on? So I think it's a great organization, a great union, and I think it's worthwhile for the our viewers to go and have a look on the website.
Well, thanks for the opportunity to do that, Peter. The Workers of England is the only union that is fighting no jab, no job policies. Of course, the first occupational mandate was for the care home workforce. Mm-hmm. They went for what they thought would be easy pickings. And now they're moving on to the NHS. And of course, then it'll be teachers and police and, you know, all kinds of other occupations. You only need to look at what's going on in Australia to see that they'll bring this in almost as much across the whole, well, anyone dealing with the public. So what I'd suggest to you is, and I'm obviously biased, I work for the Workers of England Union, but I'd suggest if you're in any doubts, if you've got any concerns about your future employment because of these mandates, join the Workers of England, because we have already developed a lot of expertise in fighting these cases, and it's the only union that will actually stand up for you. Other unions, shamefully, Unison, Unite, and others are on the other side.
Absolutely. And that's workersofengland.co.uk, workersofengland.co.uk. And if you're not worried about your job now, I think you should be. So I'd advise you to get on that. It's like people on Twitter and saying they're okay and actually ignoring the other options like Getter, which we find great, like Gab. Actually, if you think you're safe, you're probably not. So I'd encourage you to go and look at your other options, and Workers of England do that. So, yeah, get on workersofengland.co.uk. Membership there is $9.95 a month, or part-time $5.70 a month. So it's well worthwhile having a look at it and getting that protection, which I think we're all going to need. We need now. I will need more and more as time goes on. Neil, let's touch on obviously the big one of the big stories of the week was, and I think we need to touch on this. And I don't know what we bring to it, but it is this story of the individuals trying to get to the UK, trying to get to England across English Channel, and there's 27 migrants perish trying to cross Channel to Britain. And it's you've got the whole issue of actually they're in France, a safe country, don't need to be here. But it is a sad situation when people lose their lives and they don't need to, and especially whenever they're in very safe countries all the way through Europe. And it seems though the leaders don't actually want to even discuss it. And I think Macron wants to make this an election issue. The election issue is that he can stand up to Britain and they can all die or whatever. But it's immigrants out of control, 25,000 this year, three times last year. What were your thoughts on this, Neil, whenever you came across the story, whenever you had heard about it a couple of days ago?
Well, I've become more and more cynical over the last year to 2 years. And I think that what's happening here, Peter, is that I don't believe that these 27 people were deliberately targeted and killed. But nor do I believe that these 27 people was just a random accident. I think that the conditions for this mass drowning were facilitated by the establishment, because we know that George Soros and the sort of globalists, the World Economic Forum, Klaus Schwab et al., we know that they want to flood Western democratic nations with migrants. We know that. They don't even hide it, okay? Yeah. And, of course, the conditions with COVID have made it a bit more difficult for the usual inflows of migrants. So what you have is Joe Biden opening up the Mexican border to immigrants, and you have the Johnson regime in Britain opening up, really. You get this theatre about how they're trying to get the French to stop the boats from crossing. But look, let's be honest. I mean, you even take someone as sort of fairly sort of liberal, Neil Oliver. I mean, he's onto this now. I mean, this is clearly planned. I mean, even the production of the dinghies, it's all planned. And the purpose for these people coming over in their thousands and thousands is to replace the awkward people who will be dismissed from their jobs because they refuse to take the injections. Am I allowed to say that?
You can say injections, just don't go into detail. Okay. Neil's very good tonight. So, absolutely, and they're all different comments down the side. Chris Davis 33 says false flag. Well, it could be. I'm not disputing that. It could be. 05 Rosebud on DLive says it's not immigration, it's silent invasion. I couldn't agree more. So I agree with you 100%. It's just always good to look at this. And the system is using people's lives. It is a sad situation for those individuals who are part of, just like what's happening on the border with Belarus and people being used to force issues between countries. And they are pawns, often it could be a false flag and wanting to start something else. So I agree completely with our comments. Don't worry, we haven't gone soft yet. Don't worry. Right, on to Beijing. This was an interesting one, and I came across this today, and it shows the change of the guard as if we didn't know what was happening. And this is the Telegraph, and it's today. So how Beijing's millions are buying up the Commonwealth. As more countries turn to China for financial support, Britain has been asleep at the wheel, say experts. Can it readdress the balance? If we scroll down here, when Tuesday morning dawns in Barbados, British influence in the Caribbean will retreat one more step as the island becomes a republic, ending almost 400 years of loyalty to the crown. In truth, however, Barbados has already drifted away from Britain, and in common with dozens of other Commonwealth members, it has been increasingly dependent on another international partner, China. It says Britain has ploughed $500 million into the Barbados economy. And here it also talks about Jamaica. Jamaica has received $2.6 billion money from China against a GDP of $16 billion. So China is the biggest... it's the biggest recipient of Chinese cash in the Caribbean. I think we all knew this was happening, but it's interesting to see the figures, Neil, seeing the change from influence from Britain, which is long gone, to actually China staking their claim and becoming the imperialist power.
Well, you have to look at the establishments in the West, you know, what the deep state in the US and equivalents in Britain and major EU countries, is that they do not want Western democratic countries to be at the sort of vanguard of global society anymore, quite clearly. I mean, look at America, where Tony Fauci was funding the very sort of gain of function research to produce this coronavirus. I mean, this isn't, I don't want to get you in trouble with YouTube, but that's not even controversial that he was funding that research. Why was he funding a Chinese research lab? And why are British universities so keen on enticing so many? You know, it's like they want, you know, half of their student population to be from China. Why are sensitive sort of military technology sorts of companies recruiting so many Chinese people? Why are they doing all these deals with communist China? And the only conclusion that I can draw is that they would actually quite like many of the people in the establishment for the West to fail and for China to benefit, at least in the short term, as part of some kind of transformation or reset of international dynamics. Because, you know, look at the environmental thing, which, of course, we're all supposed to be getting so worked up about climate change, about the threat to the planet. And yet nothing is done about China building a new coal-fired state power station every week. China using more cement in 5 years than America used in the whole of the 20th century. So yeah. There's something going on among the elite and in the establishment, which is quite happy for China to rise above the West and for the West to fail.
Exactly. You've talked about your great friend Fauci, so let's go on to COVID then. Why not? Let's update our viewers to the wise advice from I was going to say bonking Boris, the buffoon bumbling Boris. I mean, there are many other ones we could use. So at 5 o'clock today, Boris addressed the nation with his great wisdom. And it was, I'll touch on some of the, we'll touch on the stories around this, but the main thing is that that the rules have been tightened. That Boris's, that the face masks will go through this, travel was tightened. This is the new Omicron variant. We'll go and touch on the variant later, but just this announcement, this, I guess, panic. So wearing face masks in shops and in public transport will become compulsory, unless, of course, you're exempt. My exempt badge is here in my bag. And anyone arriving in the UK will now have to take a PCR test and isolate until they receive a negative result. So, again, it's more money for the testing industry, I guess. And all contacts of expected Omicron cases must self-isolate for 10 days, irrespective of vaccination status. So, again, I guess you've kind of seen this, Neil, the everyone having to make statements and do something. They must do something because of this new panic. So let's do the political side before we maybe go into this new virus and how the fear has been used. But yeah, Boris once again, more restrictions.
Yes, well, I'd like to make a short statement to Boris Johnson, and it simply says this. Dear Boris, we shall not comply. And, you know, I'm left with a question today, because, of course, this is all very predictable, isn't it?
Yep. I mean,
we knew this was coming.
Yeah.
But am I right in saying, Peter, that the kind of official reason for this is this Botswana variant? Is that right?
It is the Botswana or whatever, the Omicron, because you can't call it by countries because that's racist, supposedly. You can call it the China virus. So this is the Botswana. This is what Botswana have given us, a new virus. So yes.
Well, and I think this actually does pose a little bit of a challenge for COVID skeptics, because there is a danger of splitting here. I think there's three different perspectives on this current situation. So the first one is that the virus is a hoax, and that's an idea which is, you know, pushed by the likes of David Icke and Patrick Henningsen on UK Column. And then secondly, perhaps a bit more common to hear, is that the virus is real, but it's been exaggerated, and the PCR test has been used to pick up COVID, even though it's, you know, probably most people asymptomatic. And even the people that do have symptoms, they've actually got flu, you know, just as we always have in autumn and winter. And probably most people are dying of flu and pneumonia rather than COVID. So that's like the second stance. And then the third one is that the virus is real, and that as the eminent vaccine expert Van den Bosch said, he warned that mass vaccination for COVID during the pandemic, the peak of the pandemic, was a great mistake, and that it would lead to more virulent strains, variants. And so Van den Bosch would feel that this Botswana variant vindicates, just as a Delta variant, vindicates what he was arguing. And certainly the numbers suggest that, you know, there's been far more deaths in 2021 since the vaccination program began than there was in 2020, which was when you had the original outbreak. So, but that broadly speaking is the three perspectives. And you can probably see there that there's danger that you get some splitting on the skeptic side.
Yeah, no, exactly. Exactly. Let me break, there's quite a bit on it, and I saw a Katie Hopkins video on it, which actually maybe should have played, but I don't have it in front of me, which was quite comical, as Katie always is. But this is, let me, yeah, this was the Daily Mail just before Boris, don't even want to call him the Prime Minister. I mean, lots of names for him, but I see. What was it? Chris, what was your comment? Chris Davis said, and I couldn't have said it better, it's the bullshit plus plus variant. Chris, I couldn't have said it any better. Well said. This, the Daily Mail, two cases of Omicron COVID in UK. Panic, panic. Super mutant variant. Again, I love the use of words. Super mutant variant, like super mutant hero turtles, is found in Essex and Nottingham, and four more countries are added to banned list. Mm. And here we have all these lines of all the panics. Here, Neil, you get this is with the first line, two cases of the monstrous new COVID variant. It's not just a super mutant variant, it's a monster. And again, this is all to do with fear. I mean, talk about that, and then I'll go down and want to make one or two other comments about it. But it is all to make you on edge and really worried, really scared, and then you'll do everything you're told to do.
Yeah, absolutely. The trouble is, though, Peter, is that they're running out of phrases to use. I mean, when you get to the level of super mutant, not something that's been used in virology before, super mutant variant. I mean, where do you go from there? And the problem is that more people are waking up all the time. And one of the ways in which I like to explain this is as a child, when you learn for the first time that Santa Claus isn't real, that your presents aren't really brought on a sleigh by Father Christmas and Rudolph and the other reindeer, when you learn that, you don't unlearn it. You never go back to believing in Father Christmas, do you? And this is what's happening with COVID. It's all one-way traffic. And this Botswana or moronic variant or whatever you call it, I just don't think it's going to work anywhere near as well as the authorities hope that it will. I think there's just too many people. And this announcement today that we're all going to have to wear masks in shops and on buses and trains again, I think, you know, there'll be many people who comply with that, but there'll be an increasing number and a difficult to manage number who won't comply. And I think they're beginning to lose. I woke up today, Peter, and watched the rallies in Australia, and they're the biggest yet. Yep. And I found it very heartening. It's just impossible now for the authorities, for the politicians, and for the mainstream media to ignore the fact that ordinary people are coming out in massive numbers and saying no more.
Neil, it's interesting, another fact, which I'm sure you know, but this variant supposedly was found on the 11th of November in Botswana, and then on the 13th they found it in South Africa. This is 2 weeks, and in 2 weeks' time they have found out that this is a super mutant, a monster, and is so deadly. It's just quite amazing that within such a short space of time, within 2 weeks, they suddenly know all about this and can tell us how bad it is.
Yeah, and what you see on Twitter, so I follow or I look at the Twitter accounts of some real COVID zealots like Trisha Greenhalgh at Oxford University, for example. And what you see now, this is how you can detect a change. Because a few months ago, they were using their platform to just be very proactive in telling the government what it needs to do, that it needs to lock down harder and it needs to bring in this and that rule or other. But now they spend most of their time complaining that there's not enough people wearing masks, or that they went into the town centre and hardly anyone was wearing a mask. They were on a tube carriage and hardly anyone was wearing a mask. So, you know, they can see that the people are not going along with this anywhere near as much as they were last year. Of course, there are regional and national variations in compliance. And I think what's been very notable, just to go off a slight tangent here, Peter, but I think what's very noticeable is that the English and the Northern Irish have been much, much more assertive in defending their rights in opposing this COVID regime. The Scots, the Welsh, I mean, no disrespect, and I'm sure it doesn't apply to all of them at all, but just generally, the Scots, the Welsh, and in Republic of Ireland, they have the Celtic fringes, if you like, they have totally gone along with this. Yeah. Yeah. And that's why you have much, much more stricter regimes there. Boris Johnson doesn't dare impose the sort of regime that Drakeford's put in Wales, or Sturgeon in Scotland, because he knows that the English, up with it, they will not put.
Yeah.
And and I think there's big trouble now, big trouble for governments, not just in the UK, but in other countries of the world, because they're no longer taking all the people with them.
Not completely. There are another, I think, two other COVID stories, but I just wanted to make a point to jump in, Neil, on this. But the monstrous they put in, I think, twice or three times. Here's where has the Botswana COVID variant been spotted? It's like going on safari and finding a bit of wildlife. Well, there you go. That's where it's been spotted around the world. Then you go on, and it's Nottingham and Brentwood. So if you're there, be really afraid. Be really afraid. In fact, you should probably just flee those cities completely. Get away from them. And again, it's the usual graph of things are going fine and suddenly out of control. Again, the fear. This was a new variant spreads faster than Delta strains. Now, let me just pull it off 1 minute. This was the front of, just want to make a point. This was the front of the Telegraph today. Witty, new variant, less worrying than Delta. So Chris Witty is telling us, don't worry, it's not as deadly. And then you see this graph, which shows actually it's suddenly more dangerous than anything else. And the last comment I wanted to make, and of course it comes, it's not just a beta or delta, it's a B11529. Oh, that sounds dangerous. That sounds very scientific. The other one is how they make them look like some alien creatures. Again, it is to do with fear. And this is so dangerous because it has 32 mutations and the last ones only had 2. So this is just so, again, it's just using baloney, using terms and words to force people to accept. And when you get subject to such crap, in the end, I guess you agree with it. But again, this is 2 weeks only, and there you get a picture. Doesn't that look deadly? All those spiky bits on it.
And the Daily Mail and other mainstream media are often putting out these images of the COVID virus, as you see on the screen here. But that has never, ever been seen under a microscope. You know, this is just a concept, really. I'm not arguing here whether, you know, I believe in whether the virus exists or not. I'm just simply saying that that image of the coronavirus, it's put across to the public as if it's something very real, very tangible, and it isn't. This has never actually been seen, what you see in that picture in front of you.
Exactly. I think that's just a picture of inside Fauci's head. So let's move on, keep on the theme. Do make sure and if you like Neil Neal's wisdom, do make sure and hit that like button. As I said, it's interesting to see the engagement we have, and I mean the huge comments. Literally every time I try and look for a comment, it's disappeared because it's scrolled up higher and higher. But these are just two other stories. I think there were two other stories. One was, again, it's this level of fear. This is the Jewish Chronicle, and the headline, and I saw this in a tweet from someone, and as always, if I see something in a tweet or a Telegram post, I try and find out, actually, let's find the story it's from, just to make sure we're bringing you the proper story and not just hearsay, which is easy to do often. And here we have new COVID variant puts Israel on verge of state of emergency. This is not a nuclear attack from Iran. No, this is the spiky little alien creature you saw earlier. And Israel is on the verge of a state of emergency, PM Naftali Bennett warned today, as the country recorded its first case. So it's had one of a highly contagious new COVID-19 strain. Well, not according to Chris Whitty. It's no more dangerous. But again, it's this fear. And you tell people a state of emergency, a state of emergency?
Well, the problem is, Peter, that the Israeli people have only had four injections so far, so they obviously haven't been suitably protected from this Botswana variant, and that's why they're going into a state of emergency. I don't know how many injections they'll need, probably 7 or 8 or maybe 27 or something like that. I don't know. But of course, we've got to remember when we talk about other countries, you know, and like when I talked about Wales and Scotland a few moments ago, is, you know, we're talking about that there's two different things, isn't there? There's the regime that's running those countries, and there's the ordinary people. And sure, there are differences in how many people have woken up. And I think that it is fair to say that far more people in England have woken up on average than have woken up in Scotland. Far more people in Northern Ireland have woken up than have woken up in the Republic of Ireland. But there are lots of good people in every country in the world who know what's going on and can see the absurdity of this. And it's when you're awake, you no longer ask questions. You no longer make comments such as, this doesn't make sense. Because it does make sense when you know what they're trying to do, what they're trying to achieve, what the whole point of the project is. And it's people in the middle. And there's a big, huge, you know, chunk of society that's somewhere in the middle. They've been going along with this, but they are a bit bamboozled by it all. You know, they've had their two jabs, and now they're being told to take another one, and now they're being threatened that they'll be categorized as unvaccinated and won't be able to travel to Europe or other countries if they haven't had their booster. And now they're hearing about this Botswana variant, and they're thinking, well, you know, I thought the vaccines were going to get us out of this, you know. And those sorts of people are commonly saying that, you know, that very thing. They're saying, this doesn't make sense. And of course, what the authorities want is they're not just using fear, they're using confusion. They want people to be confused. You know, they don't, it's not that they don't care, it doesn't make sense. They don't want it to make sense.
Yeah.
They want people to be so troubled by what's going on that and so unable to make any sense of it that they just accept anything they're told to do. But once you've woken up, then you no longer make that comment. You see, you no longer say this doesn't make sense. And if you look at the comments on your chat tonight, Peter, I don't see anyone saying this. I don't see anyone writing this doesn't make sense because I can see that they're all more or less switched on.
Oh, yeah, completely. Kim Holder says, OMG, I can't stop laughing, guys. Kim, I'm glad that we're bringing a smile to your face in the middle of the craziness. So thank you for that. Two more quick stories. We'll just do a few minutes on each. This was an interesting ABC, and this kind of shows you the lies that the media use, if we haven't already showed you. Here's a tweet. ABC News, the huge American broadcaster in the States. This was on the 25th. When was it? 25th of November. So it was, the variant supposedly appeared on the 11th. On the 13th, they isolated it, and then they've been looking at it. So in 12 days, here, the ABC News tell us a new coronavirus variant has been detected in South Africa that scientists say is a concern because of its high number of mutations. Well, they're not saying anything, really. And rapid spread among young people. I just thought that was an interesting line because, of course, and you have a child getting injected there. But, Neil, the push worldwide is for the vaccination to be used with children. And you see the news using a story to push that. So it's just interesting how it all adds together.
Yeah. I mean, once you've woken up, you realize that the variants of concern that keep coming out every few months or so are simply a means of ramping up the fear again and ramping up the compliance, because what the authorities clearly want is for almost everyone to get these injections and I'm probably in danger of getting you a YouTube punishment by saying too much more. But I think this is what it's all about. It's not really that there's some deadly new strain of the disease. It's simply that complacency and sort of lethargy, you know, creeps in over time so that people are no longer anywhere near as scared as the authorities want them to be. So that's the purpose of it. They know that there's a large percentage of the population holding out against the injections. Mm. And you know, I believe that the numbers they're stating, you know, 90% double jabbed or whatever, I think they're gross exaggerations. They know that they've got probably about 20% of the population who just aren't going along with this. They see through it. They're not going to comply. And what the government is desperately trying to do with things like occupational mandates, you know, no jab, no job, forcing people into a position where they relent to the pressure. Because they want to get it up, I think they're saying that 90% has been double jabbed. It's probably nowhere near that, but they'd like to get it at least that, and probably 95%.
Exactly. Final story is, this is what's happening in New York, which, of course, there are restrictions like everywhere. And here, the old normal, Macy's New York City's Thanksgiving Day Parade kicks off with no COVID rules. I love the way the Daily Mail play both sides, but anyway, well, the 6,500 performers and inflatables are watched by 2.5 million spectators who don't have to show proof of vaccination, wear masks, or socially distance. And I'll show you a picture. There's a picture. Everyone crowded around. You would I don't know what to make the comment on that, Neil, but you, if you looked at that picture, you wouldn't think that we had a virus that was running rampant. So maybe that picture is the one that people need to look at and have their head sorted with.
Yeah. And on a similar theme, there was a video going around, I saw it earlier today, of all the Austrian politicians watching some live bands, so some sort of party that was put on, and they were singing that, I can't remember the name of the Austrian guy that had, it was back in the 80s, I think, that song, Life is Life. And yeah, some of your viewers may remember that, but he was an Austrian artist. Anyway, they were all the politicians were there, unmasked, smiling, jolly, all having a good time. And
Neil, let me just show that, because it's good for a viewer to get it. I had it at the end. Let me show it early with no volume, because the sound may get us a strike. I don't know what the rules are. You never know these days. Let me play this clip, which he was referring to. He has described it beautifully, but you'll get to see it yourself. So here it is. With no sound. I'm looking for a mask, Neil. Can you see one?
No. But I think you might need to sing it, Peter. In the comments has reminded us it was Opus, the artist that Live is Life.
No, definitely, they're not even a see-through mask. They're the scariest ones of all.
Yeah.
You would think they're not worried about anything.
Well, they don't need to be, because you know they've had this saline injections, and certainly the leading politicians will know what's going on here, and I would say probably celebrities and top sports stars and so on will know. They'll simply have been told they have to, if they're asked, they have to say that they've had the jab. That's all they need to do.
Well, Neil, I think that bring us to an end. There are some, you mentioned some of the things that have happened. Let me just show some of those. I know at Austria, which of course, mandatory vaccines from 1st of February and other restrictions. Let me just show our viewers one or two of the short clips. One is from, let me see, Melbourne. I'll do it without, let me try sound and see. I don't know what's on this. So here's Melbourne.
It's coming out, sound good.
Great to see an InfoWars flag there. But that's what's happening. Obviously, the news don't want to tell you. And that's one of the good things about having this, Neil, that we can highlight the different videos we've seen.
And in Australia now, the mainstream media can't possibly avoid covering these rallies now. Of course, they're trying to suppress some still. And when there's a story in one of the newspapers, or there's a clip in the mainstream broadcasters, they try and use that opportunity to end by talking about the high vaccination rates and how everything's actually gone back to normal, you know. That life has gone back to normal for 90% of Melburnians and that sort of thing. Too many people see through it. The other thing about the big rallies going on, Peter, in Australia, Austria, France and other countries, is that all of the people out on those rallies are people that would otherwise be in shops, restaurants, bars and cafes, cinemas and so on. And there'll be business owners that know that, and business owners that want this to end.
Exactly. And that's why so this is Austria. Vienna, let me Let me do without sound in case that's bad. Let me give you full screen. And they're not allowed to do this because it's in lockdown. And yet they're giving two fingers to the establishment, which is beautiful.
And I think what they tried to do, Peter, is what they were hoping to do would be to divide the vaccinated from the unvaccinated and to have this very small population of unvaccinated, maybe 10%, who could easily be marginalized and ostracized. And you know, to some extent, that's what's happened in the care home industry, where it's only 1 in 10 that have held out against a no-jab, no-job mandate. But what you see in places like France and Holland and Austria and Australia is where this vaccine passport business has really gone much further than it's gone in the UK. The unvaccinated, the decent people have come out and said, no, this, I am not allowing this to be done in my name. And they're out there on it, walking side by side with the unvaccinated, because they see this as tyranny, and it's not the country that they want to bring their children up to live in.
Exactly. Let me show one last clip which made my blood boil. Sometimes you go through these stories and you feel yourself really getting quite angry, which is why I'm glad we brought a smile to some people, hopefully most of you. This is what's happening in Germany. The police, the armed police, going in with all their large guns. I guess they're ready to shoot people in the restaurant. That's what it looks like, because you don't go into a restaurant, someone having chips and a drink, with huge guns. But here's German police checking people's status. I just want to see your papers. So here's Germany. And it goes on, but it's a scary thought, and don't believe that something like that won't happen here. We are no different. People say, oh, it's Britain, it's different. No, it's not. I mean, I would love to have a vaccine against the Boris variant, and that would probably free our lives up. But the same thing will come here. So don't think it's just over on the continent. It will happen here. Two pictures to give you a smile, and then we'll leave you. Let me see if I can share both of them. And then we'll leave on a sad note for Brian Adams. So here is a story, and I don't know if I raise this with you, Neil, but I'll just mention it. We'll not comment on it because we're really getting in trouble. Here we have this newspaper in Australia, and let me just read on it what it says. Let me bring it up. Here we have a Victorian child. This is child lost to COVID-19. Very sad headline. A Victorian child aged under 10 has become Australia's youngest person to die with COVID. The Department of Health said the child, who was one of five people who died with coronavirus in the state on Saturday, also had a serious condition. Then it goes on, blah, blah. Very sad case. The last paragraph says, however, it was revealed the coronavirus was not the reason for either his hospital admission or death. So why put that headline on the top? It shows there's lies, damned lies, and headlines in the newspaper. And one last one, which should give you a smile, if I can bring it up, is this one. This is where we're going, and I'll let you decide which person you identify with most. No, the virus is mutating again. I'm on my 32nd booster. You'll need to get the vax or you'll die this time for sure. Choose your side. That's all I'll say. And on that, we'll just start the sad news of Brian Adams. Let me share that very sad news. Very sad for him. Must be a traumatic time. Bryan Adams tests positive for COVID-19 for the second time in a month. And if you scroll down, you'll find out that he actually is double jabbed. But sadly, he still had COVID twice in a month. So
yeah.
Very sorry for Bryan.
Oh, yeah.
Obviously, things have gone funny there. We'll not discuss why they have, but hey.
Yeah, I bet he wishes he could go back to the summer of 69, eh?
Absolutely. I love that. Yes. So I think, Neil, on that, we'll finish up. I see people are commenting about Peppa Pig. Yeah, we haven't discussed Peppa Pig, so that's Boris going mad. If he hadn't gone mad before. Neil, it's great to have you on, Neil. Thank you so much for coming on, sharing your thoughts, giving us your views. It's always great to chat, so thank you so much.
Yeah, an hour that went past far too quickly. And anyway, good night, everyone. See you next time. And talk to you soon, Peter.
Absolutely. Well, we did it in just under an hour. To our viewers, thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Do like and share. It's great to see all those likes and puts us way above what the average of 4% is. Great to have your comments down the side. If you do want to get our email, then go to heartsvote.org, click on that connect button, and you get our email. What else? This is Saturday. Monday, Carl Benjamin will be with us. So we're going to look at the online safety bill. He was going to come on with us on Thursday. We changed it around so we could cover what do we cover? We covered grooming gangs on Thursday. What was it on? It's out of my head. Anyway, that was on Thursday with the government's reply to our e-petition, which was a pathetic reply as always. So that was on Thursday. So Carl rescheduled with us. So he's going to be on Monday on the online safety bill, which is frightening because you'll end up in jail. It's been proposed 14 years or 15 years is it for saying hurty words. So, and Carl has said a few hurty words online. So what better person to come on and chat about it? So that's Monday with Carl Benjamin. So thank you for watching. Thank you for listening. Great to have you with us. Thank you for all your comments. Have a good rest of your weekend and see you on Monday with Carl Benjamin. So thank you and good evening.
If you like what we do, sign up to our mailing list. Donate, share, and subscribe to our many platforms at heartsevoke.org. Thank you for listening.